Those of you who have been around the last couple of weeks will know, be aware of that we're going to be beginning a series called Luke in Lent. And as part of that, we've been encouraged to read through Luke's Gospel during Lent in the lead up to our celebrations at Easter. And there are still some of these small pocket copies of Luke's Gospel available on the table at the back if you'd like to take one of those, if that might help you in your reading. And also there's a suggested reading plan that will take us through that Gospel during the course of Lent. So I commend that to you. Please take one of those from the table at the back of the church. We're going to read now from Luke chapter 19. In our services over the coming weeks, we're going to be focusing on that last part of Luke's Gospel and the account of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem and to the cross. So we're going to read from Luke chapter 19, reading verses 28 to 44. It says, after Jesus had said this, just to say that what he had just previously said was the parable of the Minas, the parable of thinking about what we have and how we use it for God. So this is the context that's set in. It said, after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethany and Bethany, at the hill called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, say, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. If I were to tell you that the Queen, Her Majesty the Queen, is going to be visiting next week, I wonder what preparations you would make. CJ says none. Maybe you'd put the Hoover round or something like that, or maybe buying a few chocolate digestives. How would we welcome the Queen? You know, back when we lived in Birmingham, I was once at the local railway station, Stechford Railway Station, on the outskirts of Birmingham, and I noticed that the staff at the station were putting up hanging baskets, and they looked lovely, and lovely displays of flowers in them. And now, I've got to say, at that time, Stechford Railway Station was the last place in the world you would expect to find hanging baskets of flowers. It wasn't that kind of place, and it's a little bit better now. But there, in the station, were these hanging baskets. And being a kind of nosy Parker that I am, I asked one of the staff why they were putting them up. And this chap told me, he said, it's the royal train. The Queen's royal train is we're expecting her to come through within a few hours' time. So everything's got to be just right, just so. And that's exactly what happened. The Queen's royal train arrived at the station and parked itself in one of the sidings. Her Majesty herself, she didn't get out of the train. We don't even know if she looked out of the window. But the hanging baskets were there just in case. And then after about 30 minutes, the royal train carried on its journey. And the train disappeared, and so did the hanging baskets. But how do we welcome the king? Jesus got quite a welcome when he came into town on that day. We're used to reading of these events, aren't we, on Palm Sunday? And as we begin this series in Luke, the start of Lent, this is our starting point. And if you read through, when you read through Luke's Gospel, you can't help but notice that it's written in a way that conveys this sense of a journey, of Jesus' journey towards Jerusalem. That's how Luke, the Gospel writer, portrays it. It's a journey with a purpose, a journey with a destination, a journey through which King Jesus will be known in all his glory. A little bit earlier in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13 from verse 31, we get that sense of the importance of the journey. And we read this in chapter 13 from verse 31. It says, "At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, 'Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you.' He replied, 'Go and tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Jesus must go to Jerusalem. And in that reading that we had from Luke 19, there's that sense that everything was being prepared in advance. As Jesus approached Bethany and Bethany, he sent two of his disciples into the village, and Jesus told them that they would find a colt there, an animal that had never been ridden before. And Jesus said to them, "If someone's asked you why you need it, just say the Lord needs it." Everything seemed to be as it was meant to be. Everything seemed just right. And of course, as Jesus rode into town, there was a whisper in the crowds that day. A whisper became a shout. He's on his way. He's coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, riding on that donkey's colt in fulfillment of the words of the prophet Zechariah. From Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. The Old Testament prophet foreseeing and telling what would happen. "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious. Yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." Everything was as it should be. In the East, kings rode horses during times of war. The biggest horse they could find. The most powerful horse they could find. But in times of peace, they rode donkeys. The donkey was considered to be a noble animal, a worthy animal. And so kings would ride on donkeys, but only in times of peace. And Jesus fulfills this prophecy from Zechariah as he, yes, is victorious, and he is the bringer of peace, riding on a donkey. And as he comes into the town, he is welcomed by the people. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Just as Jesus had said, you'll only see me again when you say and welcome me with those words. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Just as things were meant to be. Everything was in place. You can imagine the scene, can't you? You can imagine the symbolism of it all. You can imagine the crowds. Crowds who were crowded in for the Passover. All shouting, all singing, all worshipping and praising. Everything seemed to be in its place. Except that in verse 41, we don't end up with some great victory banquet. We don't end up with Jesus taking his throne in the palace. No, in verse 41, we end up with this. We read that as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. That great city that had always been Jesus' destination. That great city that was the home of the temple, the place where generation after generation, God's people had come to worship, acknowledging God's presence amongst them, the place where sacrifices were made, the place that was the focus for all God's people in this city. And as Jesus looks, as Jesus comes to this city, he weeps over it. He wept over it. You know, there's only two occasions recorded in the scriptures when Jesus wept. Once was at the grave of his friend Lazarus. You remember that? Mary and Martha, they were crying and there at his graveside. And in his compassion, Jesus wept with them. And on the other occasion was when Jesus looked out at the city of Jerusalem. And he wept with that same compassion. That same sadness in his heart. Why did Jesus weep? I think many reasons, no doubt, why he wept. He wept because he knew the future of that city. 40 years later, the city would be destroyed. The Roman invaders would tear down the walls, even the walls of the temple. Millions would be killed. Jesus knew this and wept over the future of this city that had turned away from God. Jesus wept because he knew there were those there who would reject the salvation and the peace that he was offering to them. Jesus wept because it seemed as though people had closed their eyes to the truth of who he really was. They had eyes but could not see the truth. They had ears but would not listen to the truth. And those people who were busy there shouting Hosanna, and from the other gospel accounts we have them waving their palm branches and laying down their cloaks, they did that because that's what their parents and their grandparents had done when they welcomed a mighty victorious king into the city. And here, as they looked at Jesus, they thought, this Jesus is going to be like all those other kings. He's going to lead us in a great mighty battle so that we can defeat the Romans. This is going to be a powerful king, a mighty king who will rule over us. And yet, they had got it so wrong. They praised Jesus for what they thought he would do, And actually what they wanted him to do was what they wanted, to be powerful, to be mighty, to be all-conquering. Jesus hadn't come to do their will. Jesus had come to do the will of his Father. And so as he approached the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." They refused to see Jesus for who he was. We know that from the Pharisees who were mentioned in our reading. Verse 39, it says, the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Rebuke your disciples. They shouldn't be calling you the Messiah." And Jesus said, "If they keep quiet, then even the stones will cry out. They're calling me the Messiah because that is who I am." Jesus came to the city as the Saviour, as the Prince of Peace. And yet he wept because he knew that many would turn away from him. He knew that many in the crowds who were cheering that day, by the end of the week, would be crying out, "Crucify him. Crucify him." Jesus wept because they would never understand the way to peace, real peace, eternal peace. Because the people wanted a mighty army who would bring wealth and status and power. But Jesus came offering peace and forgiveness, riding on a donkey. Jesus wept as he said, "If you, even you, had known on this day what would bring you peace." You know, Jesus is still the one in whom we find peace. Do you know him as your king today? As you look at Jesus, do you try to mold him into something that you want him to be? Meeting all your needs, or that you would want him to be? Or do you acknowledge Jesus as who he is? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But not with a mighty, powerful army who will bring about your will and my will in the world, but the one who seeks to do the will of the Father. The one who brings peace. The one who brings the offer of forgiveness and healing and wholeness and mercy. Is that the Jesus that we acknowledge and we worship and we welcome into our lives? Are we on that journey with him? Are we ready to follow him wherever he calls us to go? As we journey through Luke's gospel during this time of Lent, let's take time to remember again who Jesus is. And yes, we need to look at what Jesus meant to those around him 2,000 years ago. That's important. That's helpful. Helps us in our understanding. But we don't just leave it there. We also ask that question, who is Jesus to me today? What does it mean for me to follow him in the world? What does it mean for me to know the peace that he offers to me? What does it mean to me to know forgiveness and wholeness? Because he is still the King who brings peace into our lives. He is still the King who is seeking those who are lost. He is still loving us, even though we might have drifted far from him. Jesus is still the way and the truth and the life. And we find our identity and who we are in him. May we cry out Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, as we welcome him into our lives. A poem to close with. It's called The Tears That Wet the Soil. The tears that wet the soil beneath the master's feet hushed the roaring praises of the crowd and calmed the pious anger of the prideful Pharisees. Even they refused to make a sound. They'd cried, "The king has come, the promised one of old. Hosanna, he has come to bring us peace." Such joyous praise and song and triumph in the air. But how is it that Jesus now can weep? As if he mourned a friend, as if he'd lost someone. He wept like someone kneeling at the tomb. Jerusalem, below his gaze, he cried like he was at her grave, as he began to speak of coming doom. "If only you had known," he said, "what makes for peace." He shook his head. "But now your eyes are blind to what is true. All these days you've looked for me, for rescue from captivity, but missed the day I came to visit you. All these days you've looked for me, for rescue from captivity, but missed the day I came to visit you." Let's not miss Jesus, who he is, why he came, and why he comes into our lives today. Let's pray together. Lord, forgive us when we get the wrong picture of who you are. Forgive us when we think you've come to do our will. You've come to do my will. Help us to see your purpose for coming into the world was to bring salvation, to bring hope, and to bring peace for all people. That's the message of good news that we have. Lord, help us to see you for who you really are and to welcome you. To welcome you into our lives, into our church, into our communities, to the streets around us. Lord, that your love might be known, that your peace might rule over all things. And that, Lord, King Jesus, your kingdom might come. Lord, help us in this time of Lent. Help us as we take time to read through this Gospel of Luke to be open to all that you want to say to us. Help us as we read the encouraging things. Help us as we read the difficult things. Help us in our response to your word to us. And Lord, may we arrive on Easter Day in that place of joyful celebration, As we remember again, Lord Jesus, that even death had no hold on you. And your resurrection is that seal, that stamp, declaring that everything that you have said is true. So Lord, fill us with your truth. May we know your peace. And may we follow in the way that you have for us. Lord, help us and strengthen us in this journey.